v. Segura. Ms. Ogilvie?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is John Legutke, and I represent Ricardo Garcia Segura, who is going to ask this Court, respectfully ask this Court, to remand the sentence imposed at the District Court for a more specific sentence or perhaps modification of the sentence. The basis of this request, Your Honors, is that, as outlined in the briefs, Mr. Garcia Segura was in state custody for about 19 months. That's undisputed. It also was without dispute that ICE, Immigration Customs Enforcement, knew about the fact that Mr. Garcia Segura was in this country in state custody. While he was in state custody, no charges, no federal charges were issued.
But can't we, cutting through to this, Judge Zagel acknowledges his discretion to account for these 19 months, and then he explicitly says, you know, I'm not going to do that because this is his third time to the party, basically. So how can we find that the judge abused his discretion or in any other way acted inappropriately by handling the 19 months the way he did?
I think those are two issues, Judge. I think the fact that he has cognizable rights was set forth in a case that Justice Flom authored, U.S. Villegas-Miranda. And in that particular case, Judge, it's interesting, I think that case came off in Anders' brief, and this issue was crystallized. And the language of that says the judge has to provide a specific reasoning. A general reason for announcing a decision is insufficient. Because in Mr. Garcia Segura's case, as in Mr. Villegas-Miranda's case, there was a cognizable right that needed to be addressed. Now, I understand,
you
Judge,
have a right to have.
Just go ahead.
I'm sorry, Judge. I misspoke.
Judge, I will defer to Judge Hamilton.
Well, I don't see a right. I see an argument, an ability to appeal to the district court's discretion.
I used the wrong word, Judge. I think the judge who failed, I'm quoting from Villegas-Miranda, a judge who fails to mention a ground of recognized legal merit, and I'm sorry I used the word right. It was my mouth speaking without my brain being engaged. But I think there's a meritorious argument here, and it needs to be specifically addressed. And I was before Judge Zagel, obviously, and I read the transcript several times, many, many times. And I'm not convinced, and I'm not sure that argument was specifically addressed by Judge Zagel. And there's a question in my mind, and I believe that based upon the case law coming out of this courtroom, that this Mr. Garcia Segura has a valid argument to present to the court, and that should be sustained by this court.
Okay. Why is this insufficient? I quote, I think that almost every argument you make, except the fast track, which is a different problem, would have some significant force if this wasn't going to be the third time that he's sent back.
The government's just been talking about the 19-month request, the request for 19-month credit. It's literally two pages or three pages before. So it's not like the judge is going to have forgotten about it by then.
Well, I think it's not specific enough, because if we have to use the government's argument to piggyback and understand what the government was, or excuse me, we have to use the government's position to understand what the court...
We just read things in context, right?
That is...
We're not looking for reasons to reverse here, so...
I think context is important, Judge, but I also think an articulable decision from the district court judge saying, I'm looking at this 19-month
argument that you're making. I understand that I have the discretion because that is the case law. It's not valid because, or it is valid because of these reasons. I think that specificity is required. I think to clarify this argument, Your Honors, not arguing the correctness of the 19-month departure, is arguing that predicate step, in that the district court had to specifically address it, the district court had to specifically rule on it, and that is my interpretation of U.S. versus Villegas and Miranda.
But there was silence in that case, and here we have an acknowledgement. Do we not, by Judge Zagel?
Well, there's an acknowledgement, but I think that case goes beyond that. And also, Villegas Miranda, there's some factors that Mr. Garcia Segura presents that Villegas Miranda didn't. For example, in the case, in the Miranda case, there was some question whether or not that ICE even knew that the defendant was in custody. There was a shade of gray. In Mr. Garcia Segura's case, there is no question whatsoever. That was, I think, understood and conceded by all parties at the trial court level. There's no issue whatsoever that ICE knew about this and waited almost 2 years for the government to charge Mr. Garcia Segura. So that is a difference, and I think that's a strength in Mr. Garcia Segura's case that brings to this court that was missing. There was an element missing in Villegas Miranda. Also, in Mr. Garcia Segura's case, the fact that this is a recognizable legal claim, a merit, not a right, but a claim, I think is also a strength that Mr. Garcia Segura brings to this court that was lacking in the Miranda case. So based upon that, I think the precedent set in Villegas Miranda should apply to this case and should apply strictly, that the district court should have articulated, specifically addressed the 19-month departure and made a ruling on that, so there's no vagary. Unless the court has any further questions.
At this point.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Stryker.
May it please the court. The district court's sentencing decision was both procedurally and substantively sound. The sentencing transcript shows, and as Your Honors have already noted, that the district court considered defendant's concurrent sentencing argument and expressly stated that it had the discretion to reduce the defendant's sentence on that basis. And the court went on to ultimately reject defendant's concurrent sentencing argument in light of other aggravating factors, namely the defendant's criminal history and the fact that defendant had two prior removals. And based on these factors, the district court concluded that a sentence within the guideline range was warranted. This was a reasonable conclusion supported by the circumstances and facts of this case.
So when the district court says, this is earlier on, before even you say anything, he says, people have been chatting about this 19-month thing, and he says, I believe under current precedent I have the ability to affect what is essentially concurrency in sentences, but it is up to my discretion whether to do so. So that, I suppose, is another hint that we know that he's thinking about this. It's not just a guess.
Exactly, Your Honor. That shows that the district court considered and began addressing the argument and is what distinguishes this case from Villegas Miranda, where the district court passed over in silence the issue.
Isn't there some way that, you know, we can get people to boil these things down to just a checklist so that the district courts, I mean, we've had several appeals already this morning, people saying it's just not clear enough and we don't want to overly burden the district courts, but on the other hand, you probably have better things to do with your time than these kinds of appeals, and it seems that there should be a more efficient way to accomplish this goal.
Well, Your Honor, I think in this case, both parties did specifically address this very issue, the concurrent sentencing issue, in this sentencing briefing. It was brought up again at the sentencing, and it was quite clear from the district court's remarks at sentencing that he had addressed the issue. So I think in this case, there was certainly sufficient attention to the issue, and it was sufficiently addressed by the court.
One option would be to allow the defense to identify your top three arguments.
Exactly, yeah.
And those have to be addressed specifically by the district court. That would be, I'm not sure about our warrant to do that, but it would work probably. So,
was there a sentencing memorandum afterwards? I mean, that would be another...
A sentencing memorandum.
In this case?
Yes, there was, Your Honor. The government did an opening memorandum. The defense did a sentencing memorandum in which it focused...
No, but the district... Me. Sometimes district judges supplement their oral discussion of the sentence with a statement of reasons afterwards.
Your Honor, that was not done in this case.
Okay.
If there are no further questions, the government would ask that this court affirm the sentence.
Thank you, Ms. Strecker.
Thank you.
Mr. Gutke?
Thank you. Mr. Justice Vaughn, I have no further rebuttal.
All right.
Thank you.
I think not. And again, thanks to both counsel, and a special thanks to you for ably representing Mr. Segura in this case. All right. Case taken under.